nice to see you again. Get cozy and comfortable and allow us to bring you to the Emerald Isle in a way that only the theater of the mind can. The following story was taped live on Sunday, May 28th, 2017 at the Slipper Room in New York City. It was part of our show, Some People You Might Know. Though first, a word about the sponsor of this episode, Fifth and Maiden. Check out the official jeweler of Fireside Mystery Theater at fifthandmaiden.com and on Instagram with the handle at fifthandmaiden. Mention you're a Fireside listener and that you like your order with a bit of shimmer and receive 15% off plus free tax and shipping in the 48 states.
Ali Silva in The Relief Pitcher.
And that's why Fifth and Maiden offers... If the maiden offers...
James, what's wrong? Are you all right?
I'm losing my voice.
Oh, no. What are we going to do? We need to finish this Fifth and Maiden commercial.
Thanks for your concern.
But the commercial is due tonight.
All right. Let me try to rally. One more.
Oh, all right, James. Here, try drinking this.
What is it?
It's ginseng extract.
Ginseng? What year is this, 1995? Hey, according to the bottle, that's the year the stuff expired.
Oh, come on now, like ginseng ever goes bad.
And you drink it.
Man, we were really in a pickle here. I can't sell bespoke Fifth and Maiden handcrafted jewelry all by myself. I need a yin to my yang, a frick to my frack, a Siegfried to my crazed albino tiger, a
Brooklyn to your queens.
Mikey Brooklyn?
Mikey Brooklyn.
I was in the neighborhood. I thought I'd stop by. Oh,
Mikey Brooklyn. You're an experienced and beloved pitchman. Do you think you
think could... I could? I know I could. Where's that copy, babe?
Oh, here you go.
Wait, what about me?
Hey, Shadow Stevens, drink this specialty signature cocktail I just shook up and mixed with you.
Cordially,
That's not the time or place. Those days are over. Anywho, drink up. It's made with...
Integrity?
Nah, actually, it's made with ginseng. It'll clear that frog in his swallow hole up by the time I'm done replacing him here. All right, so what do we got over here? Fifth and Maiden, quality jewelry, yada, 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 fifthandmaiden.com. All right, let's shoot this thing.
Oh, this is an audio recording, Mikey.
It's the same difference. And action. Okay, you read.
And that's why nothing comes between me and my Fifth and Maiden.
Hold on. Cut.
Oh, what's the matter? You didn't like the reading that I just gave?
Nah, it was fine. I just want to change microphones here. This one's looking kind of slimy. The last thing I want is this guy's whooping cough germs coming up into my nostrils there. All right, I'm ready now. Okay, again.
And that's why nothing comes between me and my Fifth and Maidens. Mikey? Mikey Brooklyn?
I think I got a cold.
Oh, no.
And I feel a lot better. James Reeser here, feeling completely renewed and reinvigorated thanks to the mystical healing powers of the ginseng root, so that I may extol the praises of Fifth and Maiden Handcrafted Jewelry, which offers wholesale organic luxury jewelry and housewares that blend clean lines.
With a bit of shimmer.
Made with exquisite natural finds directly from the stunning California coastline, all Fifth and Maiden pieces are handcrafted in their SoCal studio. To learn more, just go to their website, fifthandmaiden.com, or visit their Instagram page with the handle at Fifth and Maiden. Fifth and Maiden are the official jewelers of Fireside Mystery Theater. And remember not to accept any substitutes.
All right, lovelies. Allow us to create for you a special sense of déjà vu. Many of you have asked us to make another stop in the land of Erin this season, and we do not want to disappoint you. For the following story, The Taken, we've chosen as our ambassadors two very peculiar women of the Mystic Isle who share a very special gift.
Coming to.
Are y'all right, my dearest?
Oh.
I was really starting to worry for you. I was about to fetch Dr. Farrell. Should I still?
Oh, where am I?
Well, I'm Nancy McKellen, and you are...
Demetrius. Where is Demetrius?
My dad, there it is. That's the same name you've been saying in your sleep all this time. Ma'am, what is your name, if I may ask you?
I'm Beverly Haley. How did I get here?
Well, Mrs. Healy, beg pardon. Are you a miss or a missus?
I'm Mrs. Ephraim Haley.
Well, Mrs. Healy, how do I explain this? I found you here not far from my porch. I was walking by what I assume was you moaning and a-calling in the night and came out here half expecting to find a phantom bellowing out there, but I found you instead. You're all collapsed face down in my garden. I thank you for not falling on top of my tay roses. They've taken a long time for them to show their faces this season, those tay roses, Lord love them. And I would have been made quite... Oh, speaking of tay, would you fancy a cup, Mrs. Haley?
Oh, I'm quite sorry and terribly embarrassed, Mrs. McKellen. It is Mrs., isn't it?
Oh, bless you, dear, but I am a mere miss. When it comes to romance, that is the one boat I did miss. But I'm a happy old bird with more blessings than curses to count. More than I can say for some of the poor old souls I know, blessed Savior watch over them all. How about that tea, darling?
Yes, please.
Oh, Shakespeare, get your dirty paws off that table. Oh, Shakespeare, one of these days I'm going to take that tail from you and sell it to the rats. Oh, will you look at that, will you? I was going to have some tea with Mrs. Haley, you know. Now, there's just one cup left. Lucky for you, I'm all saff for that soft, fuzzy little face of yours, Mr. Pussycat.
Don't worry about me, Miss McKellen.
Nonsense. And call me Nancy. You need a cup of tea much more than I do.
Oh, that looks lovely. Thank you. So, you call your cat Shakespeare?
Yes, but that's only because he wouldn't answer to Yeats. Sugar?
No, thank you.
Cream?
Maybe just a little.
Shakespeare! Get your face out of that cream for the love of St. Michael! Shoo, shoo, get out your cat, the devil take you! Oh, don't you take that tone with me, mister! Now you get! No. Mrs. Healy.
Please, call me Beverly.
Mrs. Beverly. What brought you here to my home, my dear?
It's my nephew, Demetrius.
Demetrius? It's a bit of a foreign-sounding name, is it not?
He's my brother's son. My brother, Magus Sheridan, is a doctor, a surgeon major for Her Majesty's Army. He was once married to a Greek woman of questionable upbringing while stationed in Cyprus. Mm. And Demetrius was their only child. It caused something of a scandal in our own family. His wife, Demetrius's mother, passed away 10 years ago and my brother remarried. His new bride disapproved of Demetrius and anything having to do with the memory of Magus's previous marriage. So my brother sent him to live with me and my husband here in Ireland. I raised the babe as if he were my very own.
Oh, Mrs. Healy.
And now the boy has gone missing, and on the eve of his 16th birthday, no less.
Oh, dear.
And to make everything worse, Demetrius. Oh, Demetrius. After many years of toil and struggle, after letter upon tear-stained letter...
Yes, Mrs. Healy.
Had just convinced his father to come and visit him here at my home. The first visit since he was but 5 years old.
Oh.
His father is scheduled to arrive tomorrow. And now his son has disappeared. What am I to do?
Oh. There, there, dear.
My poor babe. Because he looks and sounds different from everyone else around here. He has hardly a friend. He barely spoke English when he first came to live with me. But he is very clever and has learned English and even some of the Irish language quite well. He is a scholar and quite a poet too. But he tries so hard to be loved, to be wanted, to be accepted. But It seems that only I am able to give him any affection at all. My husband, Ephraim, is a hard man, a cold man. He punishes the boy for the slightest and smallest of things, for the pettiest of reasons. And the boy could take no more, and finally stood up to him. They had a row, and since then he's run away, and I can't find him.
Have you gone to Captain Miles, the magistrate? He's a kind and capable man.
Yes, I have. But he and his men have not been successful. So out of pure desperation, I have roamed the towns and villages myself, searching, asking, calling for my sweet boy. It seems that my search took me here before I was overcome by the rain and the fatigue. My legs gave out and...
God bless you, Mrs. Beverly Healy. God bless you.
Thank you, dear lady, for taking me in from out of the rain.
Of course. It was the Christian thing to do, was it not? Give me a moment, I'll send for the hansom to ride you back home.
Home? No. I can't go home yet. I have to find Demetrius. His father is arriving at the station tomorrow, don't you understand? The boy couldn't have gotten that far away. He hasn't a halfpenny in his pocket or a crumb in his belly. He has to be somewhere in this vicinity. I just have to keep looking.
Hold fast now, Mrs. Healy. I've taken a liking to you. Yes, I have. And I believe I know someone who can help you in your hour of need.
You do?
Fate and the Lord's will brought you here, I believe. And though not as great as yours, there is also a wound in my own heart, now that I've heard your story. This is an offer of help that I don't make to just anyone now. There is one thing, though.
Yes, what is it then? I know nothing else I can do, whatever the cost.
There is no cost to you. I want none of your money or shiny baubles. As I said, there is just one thing.
What is it?
I'll have to go to my friend and ask her for her help. Sibella is her name. I can tell you now that she will not refuse you.
Wonderful. Who is this Sibella and how can she help me?
I'm going to need you to keep an open mind and a closed circle. What you will witness, what you will hear and see, might make some a bit uncomfortable.
What are you getting at?
If you're willing to accept my offer of aid, Sibella and I will appear at your home at the first rainfall tomorrow afternoon.
First rainfall?
Yes. Sibella, in her own quiet and special way, has been able to help find many a missing person over the years.
But how?
If you can embrace us with an open heart and mind, we can help you.
I appeal
to you, good lady. Take a chance on us. It's only what's fair and even, since we'll also be taking a chance by bringing ourselves out into the open.
I'm not certain I understand you, but I'm willing to...
Excellent. Let's square it away, then. I'll call old Blue Rooney for the hansom cab to take you home, and I will have a visit with my friend. Ah, Shakespeare, my love. Have you come to make peace with your mammy? Oh, how could you not love a face such as that? There, there, kitty.
Beverly, do sit down, woman. All that pacing back and forth does nothing but nothing for the situation.
Jack will be back from the railway station soon with Magis.
Magis, for sure. I wonder, will he be bringing us any new crosses to bear?
Husband, I beg of you, remember your promise to me to remain kind and civil toward my brother. And where is this Miss Nancy McKellen and her friend?
Who on earth are you talking about?
Never you mind. Oh, Ephraim, the real question is, where is our poor Demetrius?
Where is your poor Demetrius, you mean?
Where is your heart, husband?
Oh, he's a rascal, and he's done it out of pure spite and defiance, I tell you. He never could stand to be told what to do. Not by me, anyways. I'm sure he lit off with the first caravan of gypsies that rode by. It's what his kind does.
What his kind does? Can you hear yourself speak, husband?
Well, the problem is that your poor Demetrius could not.
His father is arriving here soon, and it will be the first he hears of the news.
As if it's any concern to him anymore.
If only you could understand. Demetrius was placed in my care. He is my ward. I am supposed to be his provider, his protector.
And how does he repay us? By running off in the middle of the night. Because I caught him stealing like the mutton-headed half-breed he is. Besides, if he was such a treasure, why did your well-respected brother, Dr. Margie Sheridan, leave him on our doorstep?
Oh, it must be him. Magist.
I'll answer it, ma'am. Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. O'Day.
Mr. Spur. Oh, my. Please accept my apologies. It seems I've forgotten.
Forgotten?
I was supposed to send Jack over to your home to deliver the message. To cancel Demetrius's lessons for today. And until further notice.
Further notice?
Demetrius has gone missing for the last 3 days. I'm beside myself with anguish and worry.
Well, I'm quite sorry to learn of this. And please, grant me forgiveness for if what I'm about to say it seems to tread in the domain of poor taste. Oh, how do I say this? I only dare to mention it since I have traversed from quite a distance to be here this afternoon, and my poor mother is unwell at present.
Yes!
There is a balance still owed for academic services rendered to young Master Demetrius.
We owe you money? How is this not brought to my attention? Ephraim, is this true?
I think it is neither the time nor the place, given the unfortunate circumstances.
I will write you a check, sir. I apologize. Mrs. O'Day, please invite Mr. Spur into the kitchen for something warm to eat and drink.
Yes, ma'am.
You are too kind, Mrs. Healy. Again, I apologize. I would not have mentioned it at this time if not for my
All
own
right,
mother.
All right, then. You go have your tea and be on your way, Mr. Spur.
I'll answer it, ma'am. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, my hat. It's a great afternoon, it is. This here's the good Dr. Magis Sheridan. Come, let us through.
Oh, do come in. Welcome, sir.
I'll take your bags to your quarters, sir.
Magis. Oh.
Hello, sister.
Magis.
I know. Too many years have passed.
Magis, I have something I must tell you.
Beverly, what's wrong?
It's about your son.
You know, Mrs. Healy, I've given it some thought, and I must say that I cannot believe how insensitive I was just being only a moment ago. You know, I'll tell you what. The check can wait. The most important thing right now is to recover young Master Demetrius.
Hi, Mr. Spur.
Recover Demetrius?
Hi.
Mr. Spur, meet the esteemed surgeon Dr. Magis Sheridan, the father of your very own pupil, Demetrius Sheridan.
Oh, my goodness.
Magis.
Where's my Demetrius? My son?
We will find him, dear brother. I am sure of it. I will not rest until...
You've lost my son. Do you understand how far I have traveled to see him? All the way from London. I left him in your care, Beverly.
All the way from London? Don't make me laugh.
Ephraim, please.
Oh, look at the time. I really must start making my way back before it gets all dark and old.
Oh, the first rainfall. Could it be?
I'll answer it, ma'am.
Saints in heaven.
It cannot be.
But yes, it is. It is Nancy McKellen.
And this could only be Sabella.
Sabella. There's only one reason she could be here. Oh, Jack, I'm afeard.
I remember Mrs. O'Day. Sabella and her strange ways may strike you as unholy, but she appears only when one is at their hour of need.
Good afternoon.
What is this nonsense?
Please, Miss McKellen, Sabella, come in.
Have I come to my sister's house or a circus?
Look at her. That's Sabella. How pale and sickly she appears. She cannot be much longer for this world, says I. Oh, just look at those eyes of hers. They're...
Be quiet, Mrs. O'Day. She can hear you.
It's good to see you again, Nancy. You are true to your word. Thank you. Nice to meet you, Sibella.
She cannot speak, Mrs. Haley. I'm sorry we were not able to arrive sooner than... We did our best.
Where are my manners? Mrs. O'Day, please make 2 cups of tea for Nancy and Sibella.
Your hospitality is appreciated, but Sibella's time is quite limited. We must begin at once.
Begin what?
Ephraim, please.
May we visit the boys' room, Mrs. Healy? Just the 3 of us. You, myself, and Sibella.
Magus, Ephraim, this shouldn't take long.
Bah! I'm going outside for a smoke. This place has suddenly become a madhouse.
I think this will be the most convenient time for me to make my departure as well.
On the contrary. You are my son's tutor, eh? I'd like to speak with you for a moment, if I may.
Well, if you like, Dr. Sheridan, but I don't think there's much...
My son wrote me such compelling letters. It is solely on the basis of those very touching letters that I find myself here. I can only assume it is you who is responsible for imparting him with such gifts of eloquence and reason.
Oh, well, he does have a natural inclination toward the languages, but I was only too keen to man the tiller toward the seas of enlightenment.
Shall we, Mrs. Healy?
All right. Miss McKellen, first I would like to apologize.
Apologize, my dear.
I was perhaps a bit out of my head when I agreed to your visit yesterday.
I see.
But I do greatly appreciate what you did for me, Miss McKellen. You are taking me in from the cold and caring for me. What I'm trying to say is...
Yes?
I think we can manage on our own here. It's more of a personal and sensitive nature than I... Well, perhaps I told you too much is what I'm trying to tell you. Here, please, take this.
What's that, Mrs. Beverly?
It's a £10 note for your trouble and inconvenience and for your kindness to me.
Please put that away, Mrs. Healy.
I'm sorry. Nancy, I didn't mean
to... I will ask you once more. Would you like our help? Or shall you refuse the good deed that's been offered to you?
Well, I certainly didn't mean to insult you. Please, forgive me. All right. All right, fine then. What must I do now?
Just be present in this room and answer any questions Sibella might ask you.
But did you not say that Sibella is unable to speak?
Beverly, what you are about to bear witness to might seem quite strange and may startle you, but be assured, we are here to help you. Sibella and I are going to join hands. Once this happens, the voice that comes from my lips will no longer be mine, but Sibella's. Let us begin.
So this is the room. Fear not, Beverly Healy. Be still now.
Lord above.
This was once your room, Beverly Healy, many years ago.
Yes, yes, it was.
This deep notch in the window pane, I trace my finger upon it now. You made this yourself with your brother's penknife when you were but a wee sapling.
Yes, my father tanned me for that. How could you?
But now this room belongs to someone else.
Yes.
Your nephew is a thin, olive-skinned boy with the flowing black curls of his mother and the wide violet eyes of his father. a sullen, melancholy boy, a boy with a soul that longs for far-off land, but as yet has the heart of an Irish poet. He belongs to no one, and it is his loneliness that it is his greatest lot, his heaviest burden. The loneliness only the motherless can know. Demetrius, Demetrius be his name. This is his writing desk by the window.
Yes, that's right. Where is he? Do you know? Please, you must tell me.
You alone have loved him, Beverly Healy. But it is still not enough to mend his great wound. Oh, he loves you, and he is grateful for the love you give him in return. But he longs to know his father.
Has Demetrius spoken to you?
He is not here. But the picture is fast becoming clear to me the longer I stand in this house. Beverly Healy. This tablet on the writing desk tells me much of the story. Have you not studied it?
I did look through it once he went missing. There seemed to be nothing of consequence in it.
Pick it up. Glance at it again.
All right.
Read the last entry at the bottom of the page.
25th May. Complete geometry lesson for Mr. Spear. Translate verses into Latin. Finish caravan walking stick for journey to... It just ends there.
But what do you see if you turn two pages ahead in the tablet?
Oh, there's more, but I can't read it. This must be in his mother's native tongue. Oh, I can't understand it. He's too clever. What does it say?
Why not ask the scholar, Mr. Spur?
Yes, hopefully he's still here. Oh, Mr. Spur, you're still here. Splendid. Mr. Spur, come here to the room for a moment, if you would.
Certainly, madam. Excuse me, Dr. Sheridan.
What's this now?
What can I do for you, Mrs. Healy?
You are fluent in the Greek language, are you not?
Nay, agape mau. Greek is just one of the four languages I am proficient in.
You continue to impress me, Mr. Spur. I am ashamed to confess. Although the first Mrs. Sheridan was a Greek, I learned to say nothing more than a customary phrase of greeting or two.
That is why I've called on Mr. Spur, Magus. Would you be so kind as to translate this for me, Mr. Spur?
Translate? What is it?
A note left in Demetrius's tablet found in his room that might aid us in our search. Would you mind?
Demetrius's tablet? What does it say, Mr. Spur?
I'm not certain I should.
Please, tell me, Mr. Spur.
Well, I pray, Father, it will come take me away. I still don't understand why, but no one in this world has more contempt for me than my uncle. Unprovoked and with growing frequency, he threatens me with harm. And if he learns of any confidences I might share with my aunt, he will... Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. I can't read his hand here. Oh, no. It also says, please, Father, I hope you will find it in your heart to welcome me back in your home, to know what a home is again.
Demetrius, my son.
What is this rot you're reading?
You threatened Demetrius, husband. Unprovoked?
Unprovoked? Ha! He used to be quite nice around here until he was dropped off on a doorstep. Moses in the bulrushes he was not. Everything was good and calm and familiar. Then this swarthy little foreigner with a gait more common to a girl than unto a man starts to sprout up like a weed prancing about in my garden.
Oh, you sent him away?
He sent himself away, I told you. I caught him stealing, and it was me he tried to confront.
What such a delicate lad as you described him?
I really don't see what all the hysterics are about. He'll turn up later, scratching at the door for something to eat.
He won't, and you know it, Ephraim Healy.
Who in the bloody hell is this?
Sister, you must explain to me what has happened here. I'm terribly confused.
It was on the eve of Demetrius's birthday, and Ephraim and the boy had a terrible row.
Now, Mrs. Healy, did you yourself witness this row between your husband and nephew?
Well, I suppose I didn't.
I can tell you now that no such row ever took place. For quite some time you've wanted to do away with young Master Demetrius, have you not, Ephraim Healy? But there was no way to do without such sliding your own neck into the hangman's noose.
How dare you speak to me this way?
But one night, pure hatred and pure desperation prevailed, and you stumbled upon a way. Jack, Mrs. O'Day, tell us the queer story you heard in the village about Barry Bryan.
Oh, the poor old soul.
Barry Bryan. Tis too horrible.
Barry Bryan took a bed at the pub not long ago to visit the old abandoned forge off the old bog road after dark.
Everyone knows never to cross there after dark.
Oh, those who have been foolish enough to do
have
so.
Have never returned.
But Barry was cocky and headstrong, had been to America and back, thought he knew enough of the world to shake off the odd things found in places like the old forge after sundown.
He hasn't been seen ever since the night he went out there to see for himself.
Oh, but we don't have to guess what happened to him.
Saints in heaven, he was taken.
Taken? By who?
Harry, me know. I have travelled too far and long to tolerate any more of this superstitious nonsense.
Yes, sir, sorry, sir.
But one night not long ago, Jack and Mrs. O'Day conversed about this very same thing in the kitchen, within earshot of Ephraim Healy, who smoked his pipe in the adjacent room. Ephraim Healy heard with his own ears the terrible fate of Barry Bryan. And it gave him such an idea how Barry Bryan's misfortune could prove to be his fortune.
A bunch of imbeciles you are, all of you.
No, my friends. Really, this time I must bid you adieu. It's
just one moment before you leave us, Mr. Spur. Are you certain? Did you read everything to us in the foreign language written in that tablet, sir?
Well, the rest didn't really seem as important. I merely glanced over it.
Mr. Spur, you must look again. What does it say?
It's just something about how his uncle wanted to entrust him with an important task. That perhaps this task would help to finally endear him to his uncle. It's to bring a message to the landlord of an old... what is this word here? Blast. Sidergos. It's a blacksmith, or a,
Forge?
Ah, yes. That's what I thought it would say. You were not sure if the legend was true, Ephraim Healy, but you sensed there was nothing for you to lose by the trying of it. And if a malicious spirit resided there and took your nephew like it took Barry Bryan, there'd be no way to trace the crime back to you, would there?
All right. I'd like all of you to leave now.
Certainly, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Yes. Get out. All of you.
Very well. Mrs. Healy, if it's not too much to ask, could you walk us out and perhaps have your man give us a ride back to the village?
Yes, I can do that. Jack?
I'll fetch the carriage, ma'am.
Come, Sibella. Nancy.
Is there any sherry in the house, Ephraim?
Yes, in my study. Shall we have a glass then, Magis?
Yes, please.
Mrs. Healy, I must make but two last requests of you.
Yes, Sibella.
First, ask your man Jack to fetch a piece of iron chain from that plough I see over there.
Why?
Please do as I ask.
All right, but I wish you
would... Second, have your man drive us, not to the village, as I just said now, but up the old bog road, and to leave us by the path leading to... the abandoned forge.
What? Is it not enchanted by an evil spirit?
I regret to inform you. It is Demetrius' spirit that lies there. But it writhes in anguish, and it can only be freed when in the presence of one who loves him dear.
But I'm afraid, Sibella.
This may be your only chance to save the poor boy's soul. To help it find its proper peace, you must decide now, Beverly Healy. You must decide now, Beverly Healy. Will you travel there?
Chalk?
Yes, ma'am?
Chalk, before we leave, would you please fetch one of the chains for the plough over there?
Man, but why?
Just do as I ask, Jack. Come then. Let's go.
Thank you, Ephraim.
Ah, you're quite welcome.
This is a fine sherry. You must tell me where I can find some for myself.
Oh, there's a crate I'm sure I could part with.
Very kind of you. Ephraim, I am quite aware of what a wretch I have been. The shame that came to be associated with my first marriage proved to be insurmountable. It cost me more than you'll ever know.
It's refreshing to hear you acknowledge the truth at last, Magis. Most commendable.
And my son... I understand has been a great burden to my sister, and an even greater imposition on yourself. And for that, I must beg your forgiveness.
You have no idea how long I've waited to hear you say that, Magis.
I came here to this house with the intention of at long last putting my house back in order, of taking my son back home with me. Did you know that, Ephraim?
No, I was not aware.
You must understand, every letter I received from Demetrius was another arrow lodged in my heart. Alas, there are too many of them now. I am hopeless to confess that no success I could ever claim as a man of science and healing could ever compensate for the miserable failure I have been as a father. But please understand, Demetrius is still my son. And if I've discovered anything here tonight, it's that evidently you have brought harm upon him and that you don't really know me as well as you think you do.
Magis.
And that Demetrius might very well be dead. And that at the very least, it seems to me that you wished him death. That is enough.
Magis. Easy.
This pistol is aimed at your heart, Ephraim. I suppose it shouldn't matter since it appears to me you don't have one. Yes, I may be a terrible father, but I am an excellent shot. Now, either you tell me the complete truth, or this is going to end quite badly.
Sibella... I can't.
You must be brave, Beverly Healy. We must help him.
I'm terrified, Sibella.
Come, walk with us. Can you see? Can you make it out in the moonlight? The old forge.
Such gloom. Oh, is it the phantom's hand that strikes the anvil now? Oh, let's turn back.
Raise the chain, Beverly Healy. Raise it high. The spirit cannot harm ye, because that what belongs to a plough is blessed. It will protect us here. Lord. Now hear me. Hear me well, I call to thee now. I command thee now. Release your hold on the poor innocent boy who wandered here unknowingly. I stand here before you now with the one who loves him true. Release him!
Demetrius!
Release him!
Oh.
Return to the heavens what was wrongly taken!
Look, oh, so such beauty, now it shines in even in the darkness of night.
The great white bird, see how it soars. Saints be blessed, your Demetrius is free.
Oh.
My feet are here on Broadway this blessed harvest morn. But oh, the ache that's in me for the spot where I was born. My weary hands are blistered from toil and cold and heat. But oh, to swing a scythe today through a field of Irish wheat. If I had the chance to wander back or own a king's abode, I'd sooner see the hawthorn tree on the old bog road. My mother died last springtime when Erin's fields were green. The neighbors said her waking was the finest ever seen. There were snowdrops and primroses all piled beside her bed, and Fern's church was crowded as her funeral mass was said. But here was I on Broadway, a building brick by load, as they carried out her coffin down the old bog road. Now life's a weary puzzle, past finding out by man. I take the day for what it's worth and do the best I can. If no one cares or rush for me, what needs to make a moan? I'll go my way and earn my pay and smoke my pipe alone. If no one cares or rush for me, what needs to make a moan? Oh, God be with you.
And that concludes this week's program. Sabella was played by Ali Silva. Nancy McKellen was played by Annabelle Rollison. Beverly Healy was played by Mary Murphy. Ephraim Healy was played by Michael Pate. Dr. Magis Sheridan was played by Alan LaForest. Mrs. O'Day was played by Casey LaForest. Jack was played by Bill Heidrich. And the part of Mr. Spur was played by me, James Reeser. The Taken was written by Silben Sandovar and directed by Holly Payne Strange. The musical performance, The Old Bog Road, written by Teresa Brayton and Madeline King O'Farrelly, was arranged and performed by Martina Da Silva. Our show is produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Ali Silva, and Daniel and Rebecca Graves for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves. Our musical score was improvised by Steve Blanco. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Our technical director is Johnny Goddard. And our production coordinator is Dolly Morali. Do you like what we're doing, dear listeners? If so, take a moment to give us a rating and review on iTunes. If you can invest a minute to do that, you'll be doing a lot to help us grow as a podcast. Do you have favorite episodes or characters? Is there anything you'd like to hear more or less of in the future? Let us know. Your feedback means the world to us. Get decked out in a Fireside Mystery Theater t-shirt, hoodie, phone case, mug, notebook, sticker, or any of the other rockin' items adorned with our logo. Go to the merch page at firesidemysterytheater.com and grab your favorites. You can share our love with the world by taking a pic with your swag and tagging us on Instagram or Twitter with our handle at Fireside Mystery. This is your own dearest friend, James Reeser. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back, and may you always mind the shadows.